We do hope this morning that your memory has been good to you. Because that's one of the purposes that we've come together this morning is to remember. To remember, as our brother has prayed, our blessings. And what God has done for us this week, even if we focus on those blessings, we can be reminded of just how much God loves us and how He is more than able to conquer anything that's going on in our life. I don't know what your battles are like, but I am confident that you have battles. Because it is a challenge for us to be reminded of the assurance that we have in our faith in God. And I do hope that that's part of your remembering this morning, is that you do know of what God being in your life has brought to you and the blessings that are there. And what confidence, assurance gives us to where that we know that we're right with God. And with God on our side, we can step into any new adventure. We can step into any new beginning. We can recognize that that assurance gives us confidence in the life that we live. And I will tell you, it's hard to keep that confidence. For there are many things about our life in which we recognize that not everyone appreciates a faith and a life that is based upon the principles of God. There are times in which we may be surprised or careless sometimes about where our battlefields really are. Our battlefields can be in the places in which we work. Our battlefields can be in the places in which we're educated. Our battlefield can be right there in our favorite playground. Our battlefield can be in our homes. And recognizing that in all things, the enemy of God is doing all he can to generate fear and discouragement in our life. Even though we recognize the greatness of our God and the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. So, what do we do as a people when we recognize that our assurance is not what it has been? Well, I think it's important to remember. We remember what Jesus did for us as we partake of the bread and the cup. We remember of the promises that we have that we too can leave a life of sin and be drawn through the blood of Jesus Christ and be right with God. And in that memory, we can recall just how great our God is. I think that's where we find the people of Israel. As Moses has passed away and they have a new leader, Joshua. And to recognize that they have not accomplished what God has set out yet. There is more land to conquer. As a matter of fact, it is the land to conquer. It is the purpose of their deliverance of bondage to go back into the land that was promised to Abraham and his family. And to recognize this is the place where God wants them to dwell. And it's a place in which He wants them to be a nation that exalts Him and recognizes Him as the giver of that land and the one that will protect them as they dwell there. So as they are getting ready to enter into that land, the call is for them to keep their purpose and to recognize that it may be exactly where we are in our life right now. It is to where there may be a new beginning. There may be a time in which we find ourselves going into a place of unknown. It may be because we have been longing for this new chapter, but it can work the other way too, to where something in our life has become a disappointment. Something has changed in a relationship. Something has changed that has been a pillar of faith that has held us up. And we are begin feeling our foundation crumble a little bit in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others, which usually follows after that period of doubt that tends to reign and generate fear and discouragement in our life. If that's where we are, I would suggest to you, of all things that is important to do, probably more than any other time in all of our lives, is to tighten up our grip on God's Word and to recognize its importance in our life. And I would suggest to you that's exactly what God has done with the people of Israel. In their wandering and in the place that they find themselves now, just on the other side of the promised land, the only thing separating them is the Jordan River. But I will tell you, just as important sometimes is our own fear and our own uncertainty and our lack of assurance. It is Joshua that will lead the people. And as he leads the people, it is a message that Moses began before his death giving to the people, and one that Joshua will understand and be reminded of by God. And it'll be a message that he will continue. You see that message here in chapter 1 of Joshua, beginning in verse 5, where three times it will be said in the presence of the people, "Be strong and of good courage." Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, he'll say, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Look at verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I think sometimes we tend to overlook the fact that in this instruction that Joshua would receive and share with the people, he points out in verse 7 that to be strong and courageous is directly connected to God's Word. That we might recognize that it is our source of strength and courage. This phrase in its translation, "be strong," it suggests a variety of things in which we could understand that even in that phrase, it's referring to a courage and being valiant and being manly and being strengthened, established, and be firm and be fortified. But in that avenue of strength, sometimes in our life, we tend to attribute our strength connected to other people. And that if we have them in our life, we find strength. And if we lose that foundation, sometimes we say, "I've lost my strength." I want you to understand this translation also makes reference that we should be strong based on ourselves. King David, in this reference of being strong, he made himself strong. There are sometimes God looks upon us, and there's not a way in which we can point to other personalities in our life, but He is counting on us to make ourselves strong. And He doesn't look for us to fight our battles by ourselves. The way that we are strong is by leaning on His Word and recognizing God in our life. Moses, in chapter 11, in the account that he gave earlier in Deuteronomy, it is a message that continues again and again in verse 1, where he'll say, "Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always." And then he says, "No, be aware today that I do not talk with your children who have not known or who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, His greatness and His mighty hand and His outstretched arm." He's recognizing that we know God has strength and that God will be with us. When he says in verse 3, "You have seen His signs and His acts which He did in the midst of Egypt. You've seen what He did to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and all his land." And then he'll say in verse 6, "And you saw what He did in your wilderness and in that wandering and in the battles that you had." In verse 7, "Your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which He did. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess." He wants us to recognize that our strength is in God. And with God on our side, our assurance should be strong. Our faith should be strong. Our confidence should be strong. In Romans 8, verse 38, you remember when Paul, it's talking about our life as not only being right with God, but we are more than conquerors. What he's saying is that separates us because God is on our side. And he'll say this in verse 38, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you feel separated from God? Do you feel separated from the blessings and the strength that you have in Jesus Christ? You know, recognize here that for us, that when we look at God's Word, we are reminded of His greatness. We are reminded of what He has done to the kings of all the nations that have worshipped false gods. We recognize that we are able to do more in our life with Him on our side to where we can have confidence of the love of God through blessings in Christ and the hope of eternal life. That when times at our workplace becomes difficult, in times in which our friends set us aside and ridicule us, in times which our home life is difficult because God is not honored, it is then that we see the works of God and we recognize that in ourselves, with God on our side, we make ourselves strong. His Word continues to point out His nature, and His Word continues to remind us, just like a Kodak photo album, we can recall when God was on our side and gave us the victory, and we recognize that we could not have done it on our own. It was God on our side. Joshua also, in this teaching, will make reference of how important it is. Look at verse 8 in chapter 1 of Joshua. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Here, when he talks about the Word of the Lord, it is part of our everyday life. It shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it. You know, it's interesting, that word meditate. It actually has a sense of muttering. Muttering. This morning, Tyler handed me a piece of paper, and he told me to mutter over it. That's a way of saying meditate on it. And we've had people in our lives that perhaps spiritually have muttered things before us all the time. And it seemed like every time we were around them, they remind us and they muttered about what we should be doing and what we should become. And some people push away and they say, well, that's why I'm not close to God, is they muttered all the time. You know, that muttering works the other way. That muttering is let us know what we can be with God on our side, what we can do, what we can conquer, and what we can overcome. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you'll remember here again, in the early days, Moses stressed upon the people the importance of obeying God. In verse 5, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart." What should they do with them? He says in verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you don't remember." He says, "Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God." And that's what we mutter. We mutter what God has done for us and the fact that we don't deserve it. We mutter out and we meditate on the fact that God on our side. We see His words and we see His works. And we tell others about it. We continue to remind ourselves about it. We cannot do that without the Word of God. We cannot do that without tightening up. We can't remember and be reminded every day as we are opposed in the battles for good and right, to see a situation to where we might stand up and recognize that we choose to stand with God. In Philippians 4:8, you'll recall that the Apostle Paul told the Church of Christ at Philippi, "Brethren, whatever things are true and whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I want to remind you that before he said that, he talked about the peace of God. And he said, the peace of God passeth all understanding. And then he says, guard your minds. Guard your hearts. And that lets us know that there is that risk of losing the peace which we as believers have in God. And the reason is because those areas don't get into our thinking. Those things that are right, and those things that are good, and those things that are lovely, those things that are virtuous. We live in a society today to where we are allowing ourselves to let garbage in. And the danger is those things of God is not what's coming out. That garbage that's going in, that garbage is going out. So we as believers are moving away and replacing the Word of God with things that we've allowed ourselves to think are important, that we've got to stay on top of, that we've got to have this newsworthy item. We've got to have this new bit of information. Because of it, God and His great works, God and His words is not what we're muttering and meditating on with our children. And with those that need to hear the gospel, need to hear the news that there is a Savior that is available for them, and that they can be right with God. The Bible is our source not only for our strength and not only for making us aware of the greatness of our God, but it is also giving us direction on how to do what God says. How to be faithful in our choices. How to be faithful in our actions. And those things that we tend to do to honor our God. Here again in verse 8, he said, you shall meditate in God's Word day and night that you may observe to do according to all that He says. That there is one thing about getting knowledge, and there's another thing about being able to say, I understand. But the ultimate objective is to do what it says. You know, we take subjects in school and we want to learn enough to pass the test, right? And then we want to learn enough to where we pass the course and we never, ever, ever have to take it again. Because we are convinced that what we just went through we'll never use the rest of our life. I'm going to tell you, learning the Bible and learning God's relationship with man and learning about Jesus and His role of redemption and learning about what the churches were going through in their everyday lives and how to honor and exalt God and put Jesus first. It's one thing to know it and it's one thing to understand it, but it is everything in doing what God charges us to do. You remember in John chapter 13 when Jesus was entering those last days of His life before His death on Calvary, that when He and the disciples came together in John chapter 13 to observe the Passover, that as they came in, they were surprised at what was waiting for them in the form of Jesus and a deed that in their mind probably was unthinkable. He washed their feet. He washed their feet. Not only did He wash their feet, but when they looked at Him, He looked like a servant. He gave the appearance of a servant. And when He had finished all of that and had accomplished His example, verse 12, He says, do you know what I have done to you? And what He tells them is, He has, verse 15, given them an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, some people think that we ought to be washing each other's feet. I don't think that's what the example was. The example was, this is what a servant does. That a servant not only talks about the game, but a servant, he performs the duties of a servant. He humbles himself to the degree to where he serves. And he said, that's the example. You remember the prophet Ezra. In the book of that great prophet, chapter 7, verse 10, it said Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now, Ezra prepared his heart to where he could not only teach the word and share the word, but he sought the word so he could do it. And you can't do that by separating yourself from God's word. James 1:25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, I read that verse sometimes just like you might, is that he'll be blessed. That's not what it said, was it? He'll be blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed in his work. He'll be blessed in his example as a servant. And so when God calls his people and says, I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous, I want you to meditate on my words, I want you to meditate on my nature and my strength so that you might be able to do what is in my word. And I tell you, that means God has work for me and you to do. That means he has a purpose just like he did for these people, that there is land to conquer. And the land to conquer is going to be done by his people. And when they do it, the people will be able to say, how did they do it? How did they do it? They are not that strong. They are not that mighty. How were they able to do it? The glory will go back to God. It'll go back to God where it belongs. The battle belongs to who? Belongs to the Lord. And so he'll get honor. He'll get praise. And it'll be because we recognize that we serve him. Not only do we do it, but he says, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. I don't care what bookstore you go into. I really don't care if you go to the public library. But chances are they've got a section in there that deals with management books. And some of those management books will be right next to books of leadership. And a lot of those titles will have the word success in it. You can look high and you can look low. And you can look all around in that section, but chances are you'll never find a Bible sticking up in there. And I'm going to tell you today, there are individuals that are looking for successful, prosperous lives. And they've allowed the world to lead them down a path that is empty. Recognizing God's Word and what we do with His Word and how we see our God is everything about our growth and the progress that matters most. That's our spiritual growth. That's growing to be the person that God is looking for us to be. Look at the Apostle Peter's second epistle. In his second epistle, he did for us in our generation, those of us that are living in the last days, something that God did through Joshua. And that is, remind them that God's promise is faithful. And why they should do what God has instructed is because it is time for them to take what God has promised. It's time for them to fulfill and get into the land in which He has led them to. The place that He has led them to. And to do that because He promised it. Well, through Jesus Christ, God has made promises. And those promises, He says in verse 3 in the first chapter of the second epistle, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's giving us the promise to where we can be like Jesus. We can be adopted children just like the Son of God. We can have a relationship with God. And in that relationship, he says in verse 5, and for this very reason, you need to give all diligence. You need to put effort. Your effort is to add these qualities in your life. And you're not adding these qualities just because God said so. You're adding these qualities because you believe the promises. You recognize that through Jesus, you've been delivered from a corrupted life. And your response is you're not going to live in that life. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, he says, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you still are not able." And what Paul does for us is to remind us that in the church, there are some individuals that are not making spiritual progress. There are some that are not holding up the banner of the cross and saying, "Let's go fight. Let's go win. Let's give the Lord the victory." And the reason that they're not is because they don't think about spiritual things. They don't hold on to the promises of God. Now, they want God on their side. But their lives have not responded in a way in which they recognize the purpose of the death that Jesus had on the cross, and the purpose of the death on the cross was so that we would no longer live in sin, that we would not no longer stay in this corrupted life, that we would grab hold of that divine nature, and so we become a new creature. And as we are a new creature, we see God's promises. Verse 9, where we were, "He who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." And so we don't grow. And spiritually, we don't become the people that God wants us to be. God telling you today to be strong and be courageous. I tell you, it takes strength to stay in God's Word. It takes strength to be able to stand in some of the evil places that we find ourselves in today's generation. In Ephesians chapter 6, there is purpose of putting on the whole armor of God. He says there that we may be able to stand. God wants you to stand where He has placed you. God wants you to be strong. Be courageous. Get a tighter grip on His Word. Because He wants His blessings to be accomplished in your life. Can I get you to look over at Hebrews chapter 10 and tell you why the person that is sitting next to you is so important? Because we need each other so that we can keep our confidence. We need each other so that we can recognize that we all are frail. And there are times in which we forget just how big our God is. And there are times that we allow ourselves to drift from His Word. And so when we drift from His Word, we do not see how our God is able. In Hebrews chapter 10, the focus of the Hebrew writer has been on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and this living way which He has provided through His death in the flesh, through His shedding of the blood. And what he has said is when you focus on Jesus, then it impacts your assurance, it impacts your confidence, it impacts your courage. He says, focusing on Jesus, and I hope that's what your memory has enabled you to do today. You remember your blessings in God. You remember the love of God in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice with purpose that is all about you. He says, when we focus on Him, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith because we know we're clean. When you have that strength, when you have that courage, you have full assurance of faith and you draw near to God. Verse 22, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God wanted them to get it. God wanted them to understand that His promises are true. Do you live your life right now recognizing that God's promises are true, so that's why you are faithful to Him? When you do that, your hope does not waver. Your anchor does not give in. That you are able to stand even when those closest to you in the inner circle profane the name of God. You will stand firm. Because you know who your God is. Because He is revealed in His Word, and that's where you will stay. So your hope is not wavering. Your faith is strong. Verse 24, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. Because we get fearful. We get discouraged. And our assurance wavers. So he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And when you stir up love and good works, it is a reminder of God. It is a reminder that you did that, not just because you wanted praise. You did that because that's your God. And drawing near to Him, you become more like Him. Living the new life and the new creature, you have the abundant life. So you are drawing close to God and you are following in what He has told you to do. And so it stirs us up. And you are so needful in this work. You are so needful in this church. He says in verse 25, don't forsake the getting together of the folks. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but you exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why when you're not here, you're missed, because you're a source of encouragement. That's why you are so important to the faith of so many that are here. It's because you demonstrate faithfulness, not just in your appearance, but in the words and the deeds that you have, and you recognize that our days are numbered. So now is not the time to be fearful or discouraged. It's because not one of us has the promise of tomorrow. Jesus is coming soon. Soon. And so we need to be strong and be courageous. That's why you're a blessing. It's because it is a great priority for you to be an encourager. Kind of Barnabas-like, right? The church needs that so badly today. So when it comes time to do the work of God, you're ready to say, let's go battle. Let's go fight. For the Lord is on our side. Jesus, in looking at the churches of Asia as He is talking to John while He is on the Isle of Patmos, looking at one particular church, He says they need to remember their first love. And you see, your memory is so important when we come together today because it reminds us of who our God is and how that He has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, and for us to never have our battles to where it's one-on-one and we're set up to lose. We're the ones that do that. We're the ones that say that I'm not able, I'm not capable, I can't, there's somebody else better. God would remind you. Be strong and be courageous. Do not fear, be discouraged. God is on your side. He demonstrated that for us through Jesus Christ. And through that blood and that sacrifice, we can be cleansed by His blood, and by faith, we can arise in newness of life. Faith. Great faith and assurance. You see, that's why some today can say faith is the victory. Because you get it. You know why Jesus died on the cross. But it may be such to where we've drifted away from the Word. We've drifted away from our God. And like a loving father, I would tell you, He is ready for you to come home. Won't you come home? Won't you repent of the sin that has separated you from God, separated you from His greatness, separated you from His Word? Come home. Make your life for Him. And recognize He is able to deliver. Every day He is able. Don't you want that help? Won't you come while together we stand and sing with y'all?